that you will look well in a kilt. But the feeling is there, and seated beyond the reach of argument. We should consider ourselves unworthy of our descent if we do not share the arrogance of our progenitors, and please ourselves with the pretension that the sea is English, even where it is looked upon by the guns and battlements of another nation. We regard it as a kind of English cemetery, where the bones of our seafaring fathers take their rest until the last trumpet. For I suppose no other nation has lost as many ships, or sent as many brave fellows to the bottom. There is nowhere such a background for heroism as the noble, terrifying, and picturesque conditions of some of our sea fights. Hawke's battle in the Tempest and Aboukir at the moment when the French admiral blew up reached the limit of what is possible to the imagination. And our naval annals owe some of their interest to the fantastic and beautiful appearance of old warships and the romance that invests the sea and everything sea-going in the eyes of English lads on a half-holiday at the coast. Nay, and what we know of the misery between decks enhances the bravery of what was done by giving it something for contrast. We like to know that these bold and honest fellows contrive to live, and to keep bold and honest among absurd and vile surroundings. No reader can forget the description of the thunder in Roderick Random, the disorderly tyranny, the cruelty and dirt of officers and men, deck after deck, each with some new object of offence, the hospital where the hammocks were huddled together, with but 14 inches space for each, the cockpit.